Hello and welcome to Center Circle Live, the final edition of CCL for the spring season in 2019. Marty Thompson, Armin Badakian, and Holly Williams here. And the spring season is over and we have a champion.
We do have a champion. It is Cavalry FC.
Hooray.
No, we'll add a little hooray. Don't worry.
Okay,
we'll add air horns if we can. Holly, can we add air horns?
Yes, we can.
Okay, 3, 2, 1. Sick. Yeah, so Cavalry FC wins the spring portion of the 2019 CPL season. We sort of knew it was going to happen. They were on like a 7-game winning streak at one point. So I think it was just a matter of when, not if. But, you know, Forge gave them a good little test near the end there. A 1-0 loss, I believe it was. And then they turn it around and they get their nice little win over York 9 FC and wrap it all up.
Yeah, 2-0 win over York was all that they needed to clinch that. Seems like a lifetime ago. It was just last week. We'll get into their results against Pacific FC on the weekend in a wild game, but I wanted to get both your takes on, you know, how this Cavalry season has come together. There's been a ton of highs. There have obviously been like a few lows, but Tommy Wilden Jr. has really put together a good team. What's a moment that sticks out to you guys in terms of, you know, how this whole season came together for them?
I think it was that moment when they're taking on Forge. I believe it was May 12th, and it was at Tim Hortons Field. It was Sergio Camargo, 86th minute, that he missed. He struck directly at the goalkeeper. And I think it was at that moment when the way that they didn't get too down on themselves, they just kept pushing, they kept fighting for it. And this is away from home. And then Nico Pasquati hits that 95th minute winner. I think that moment sort of put Cavalry in that team of destiny mode where even if it wasn't true, there was definitely the confidence of it. And that definitely helps when you go into the locker room and you're feeling like everything we do is going to be gold. So I think that was a turning point moment for them. But then there was just all these little moments along the way where it was just like early goals that put them ahead. And it's like, don't even think you can get a win. And then there was these moments where, like in the Canadian Championship, it was these come from behind moments. And so, I mean, for Cavalry, it was pretty straightforward. I don't think like that, besides that one kind of speed bump near the end, that's really what it was, a speed bump. All it did was slow them down just a little, and then they're right back on pace. So Tommy Wilden Jr. at the end of that York 9 game said that he's still going full steam ahead. He wants that fall championship title as well. That gives him the freedom and the luxury of getting to choose which home and which away game he gets in that two-legged CPL championship final. And I don't think we've seen the best of Cavalry yet either.
For me, it's that second El Clasico game against Edmonton where they went like 70 minutes without a goal. And then it was bang, bang, bang. 3 goals. Sergio Camargo had 2. Yeah. And it just, and that was their 7th win in a row. And then after that really put them in pole position.
Well, I was at the York Cavalry game this past week, and it was pretty clear, you know, watching them on the pitch, who's going to win that game, and going 8-2 on the season to get that spring title. I think it was just clear from the get-go that they would reach that point, and you know, to win in the inaugural season is pretty impressive.
Yeah, and that York game too, like you mentioned, Holly, pretty early on, kind of stamped their authority on it. Obviously, 2 kind of interesting goals off the free kick as well. But yeah, it never looked in doubt in that game, right?
Definitely. I was there too. And it was pretty clear right from the get-go. There was no, like the wind was sort of sucked out of the place pretty quickly. And Cavalry just had their foot on the pedal. And I also think that they were holding back a little, which is kind of scary if you're a team like York 9. But that being said, I also don't know if that will carry on. I think a lot of Cavalry's successes came from the fact that they knew each other, that they were very familiar with one another. But then the more that the rest of their opponents start to kind of get their groove and they find their rhythms, I think that quality gap can be closed, at least by teams like Edmonton, York 9, Forge especially. So I think this fall portion, this 18-match fall portion, is going to be a lot more contended than maybe the spring, which was just a 2-team sprint, really.
So Cavalry go into Canada Day in this big final match day of the spring. They've already won, heading out to Pacific FC, and what the heck was that?
Yeah.
3-1, 3 sending offs, a free kick goal from Issy Nakajima Farron to end the game.
Yeah, it was amazing. I'm so glad he scored the final goal of the spring. That's just a nice little cherry on top. Because he's basically like the most interesting man in Canadian soccer, we've said. He posted a picture on his boat, said Happy Canada Day. So, you know what? Why not celebrate? It was a cool day, though, all around. I mean, Cavalry, I think, was a little bit more experimental.
Mm-hmm.
Are we saying that right, by the way? Cavalry?
I believe we are saying it right.
I believe we all got a bit of a call out on whether social media. They posted like a pronunciation video.
Cavalry and Calvary.
It's not Calvary.
Yes.
It's Cavalry.
Those are very different.
But yeah, I think they were a little bit more experimental. Not all of their starters. I mean, like there was a plenty of the familiar faces, but I think that's sort of going to be Tommy's wheelhouse for the next few weeks as he gets to try more players. Well, he has to try more players now. Two of his guys got red carded. I wouldn't read too much into it. I think Pacific FC, you know, kudos to them. Victor Blasco, great goal on his birthday. Second player of the actual day that scored on his birthday. But yeah, I mean, it was a good showing for Michael Silberbauer. I think they needed that confidence boost.
Yeah, and Holly, what did you see from Pacific FC yesterday? Obviously, they're best against worst in the spring session for that match. Pacific, obviously, on the low end of that. Playing with confidence, and they look good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's kind of what they needed. And to finish off the spring season, it's always good, obviously, on a high note. But I just have to say that game was... The ending was pretty crazy.
Yeah, that was good.
That was a very exciting way to kind of cap off everything. And unfortunate for Cavalry to just had to really...
You know. Holly, I got a question for you. Was that a fittingly Canadian way of ending the spring season with three red cards?
A red card?
Three red cards, just a nice little... But three respectful red cards. I didn't get...
Shout out to Mauro Eustachio on that red card. I've never seen someone just... He just didn't stop. It went from a run to a slow walk and just kept going.
Yeah, he's like, I know this is happening. But yeah, what do you think, Holly? Was it appropriately Canadian?
Oh, absolutely. And on Canada's Day, yeah, I think it was pretty fun to watch.
So we move on from that one to another very fun game. FC Edmonton take down HFX Wanderers 2-0 in the unofficial battle for third place. I know third place doesn't mean anything, especially if we ask a couple coaches in the league. I'm thinking of Rob Gale specifically.
There's a plate. One Soccer has a plate that they're handing. So what was it called? The Peacock Plate?
Yes, I believe it was.
So there is something to play for.
So FC Edmonton, just like that, three wins on the bounce. They go from last to third. And set themselves up really nicely for a run in the fall.
Should we weigh in on it or should Jeff Paulus? Yeah, we'll have Jeff Paulus on in just a minute here. He can talk to us about his three-match winning streak and what it means to be an FC Edmonton player these days. I mean, I think things have changed for that team. They've definitely approached things in a little bit of a different way lately, and it's paying dividends. They're scoring goals. I think it was something like 550-something minutes without scoring a goal, and now they're scoring them for fun.
Yeah, it's interesting what Jeff said too in the interview, talking about how they kind of switched away from that 4-3-3, went to that 4-4-2, and how that's working. Diouk obviously is a player that's been standing out for them, but quickly HFX Wanderers fail to score again on the road.
Yeah, that's rough. Did they score any on the road in the entire spring?
No.
Not even the one, eh? Yeah, Stephen Hart's got his work cut out for him. That being said, I think two of his best attacking pieces have been injured. So once Perea's back, once Gutierrez is back, I think we'll see a different HFX.
And the third and final game that happened on Canada Day was the first one in the afternoon in Winnipeg at IG Field. York 9 taking down Valor.
Yeah, it was basically everything we've been waiting to see from York 9 finally come to fruition. It's a good way of closing their story, I think, for the spring. We said at the beginning of the year, our very first podcast, I think it was, that I think York 9 just needs time. That's the nature of their diminutive attackers, the nature of the kind of football they want to play. Credit to Jimmy Brennan for sticking to it, even though it wasn't necessarily working. What was it, Holly? Like 300?
Yeah, 331, I think. Yeah.
331 minutes without a goal. So they've come through, and I think this is more in line with the York 9 that we're expecting to see. Now, that being said, they're playing against Valor, and it wasn't necessarily the toughest opponent for them, the last place team, who's been really struggling lately. 6 losses in a row, I believe, now. So, I mean, I don't know how much you can read into it. Let's see how they perform against a tougher opponent. But I think once York 9 got the goals going and once that connection was deep, we're going to see a true contender, I think, for the fall crown.
Yeah, and York 9, it's interesting because you see players like Maury Doner, like who wasn't starting, wasn't playing at all to start the season.
Totally.
He comes on and he had something crazy like 91% passing accuracy through that one. What else did you see from York 9, Holly, that impressed you there in Winnipeg?
I just like the fashion of their goals. All three of them, really. You could look that they were pretty impressive. I think
totally
some of the best that we've probably seen all season. And Maury Doner's volley.
Yeah, that was so
that
nice.
That was
a good one.
Unreal. So to go 331 minutes not scoring and then to score three, you know, rockets of some goals, I think that's what kind of impressed me. And I think we have that to look forward to in the fall.
To be honest, Maury Doner's goal might be one of the spring contenders, but I think even on that weekend, we have to like give some credit to that incredible free kick by Manny Aparicio. I mean, the way he hit that, and it's so tough because we've seen Jovinko do it so much. But when you're like, you know, small in stature and you can hit the ball like that, that's like twice as hard as a regular free kick. So, I mean, kudos to him. That's my goal for the weekend. But like you said, Holly, all three of them were really, really good goals. Even that third one, that flick to set up Ajayi was incredible. So I don't know if they can keep scoring incredible goals like that, but if they can, I mean, you know that Montreal Impact game is going to be super interesting.
Very quickly, I want to get your take on Rob Gale's shirt and blazer combo. The We Are Many, We Are One Canada Day shirt. You can buy it at campiel.ca. Rob Gale has one. Did it look good?
Did it look good?
I would say no, but...
I like how you say this while wearing a maroon shirt.
Both of you.
Yeah, so
we had me too, I guess.
The white Canada Day shirt with the maroon jacket and pants.
I think it looks sick.
Okay.
It's our photo of the week over at the breakdown, and for good reason. I think Rob Gale rocked it.
I did enjoy it as well, actually. Would I approve it on any other day? Maybe not.
Or any other man, really.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, Rob Gale, I definitely approved of it.
Yeah, we're here for it. I'm joined by Jeff Paulus, head coach of FC Edmonton. Jeff, your team has now just gone three wins in a row. How are you feeling?
Yeah, you know what? We feel better than we did a couple weeks ago. But you know, it's a good feeling around the club right now. You know, feeling amongst the players and the staff, and you know, it's all positive right now. But you know, we also, I don't mind saying that, you know, we're also a team that knows we've got work to do, and we're not there yet. You know, we'll keep getting better, and we have to keep getting better. The other teams are. So, yeah, but definitely, you know, very delighted with the recent performances.
So you guys were in a bit of a tough kind of goings in the middle part of the spring campaign, something like 500 minutes without a goal, but then you come to life against Pacific FC on June 23rd. Mm-hmm. Can you take me through that game? Did you sort of, in the build-up to that match, did you have a feeling that your team would open up the way they did?
Yeah, we started seeing some good signs, honestly. You know, we thought we had, you know, the two games previous, you know, we had the 0-0, the draw with York. But we got ourselves a couple of good looks in that game we were happy with. We thought we maybe could have scored one or two. I mean, they had some good looks as well, so I'm not saying we should have won the game. But we thought that we actually created enough to at least get a goal. Against Calgary in that 3-0 loss, I mean, it's a horrendous scoreline, you know, considering for 68 minutes we were actually maybe on top of that game. And even that, though, we thought we got ourselves in great areas again. Didn't get a couple shots off. So we've always believed that the goals are coming. We've always, you know, we believe, and I certainly believe so strongly in Tommy Amiobi and Omar Duke and their relationship and their chemistry that they have growing right now, plus some of the young players that can come off the bench for us. So we thought it was coming. It's just a matter of time and being patient, you know, maybe changing, altering how we want to approach our attack and play. But, you know, the belief, certainly in my players, has never wavered on my end.
So one of those players that you just mentioned, Omar Diouk, he's been a player that's really emerged in the last couple weeks, scoring, I think, the joint league leading 4 goals now over the course of the spring season. What have you seen from him that has impressed you? And is he one of those players that maybe deserves a little bit more recognition?
He's a player that is just this dogged determination. You know, I don't mind saying, and I'm sure he would tell a story as well, that, you know, we had a couple of discussions early on in preseason, and you know, maybe, you know, himself will admit that not at the level that we expect him to be at when he first came in here. And, you know, it's a new country, it's a new environment, new culture, so you understand these things. And but from that point, though, I'll tell you, in those discussions on, you know, he was adamant in his ability. And, you know, he took it as a challenge, our conversations, and said that, you know, just keep believing in me and I'll show you. And, you know, and that's one thing that I do with my players is I certainly always believe in them, and it's been rewarded. You know, his work rate is through the charts right now. He's got a confidence in his ability. Even when he was missing, there's a confidence there, you know, and he just kept saying, listen, I promise you I'm going to score. It's going to come. And when it comes, I'll keep scoring. And so we kept giving him the chance, you know, and we kept believing in him. But he probably does, you know, he scores for fun in training. But it's just this inner confidence he has, this inner belief in his own ability and what we're doing as a team. So he should be considered a little bit more, you know, at this point. I think he's shown it now. I think he's proven himself. And even the ones he was missing early, Armin, he was getting himself in very good positions. And even that sent kind of a warning shot across, you know, most teams out there that this is a kid you have to worry about. You have to know where he's at.
Another player that you have a lot of belief in, I remember in preseason we spoke about Marcus Velado Tsegaye. You said he's a player who has the potential to be one of the head turners of our league in the coming years. And he really showed good again as you guys took on and defeated HFX Wanderers 2-0 at Clark Field. It was his birthday as well, so it's definitely a birthday treat for him to celebrate. What did you make of his performances, and what did you make of his, I guess, celebratory day on Canada Day?
Yeah, very happy birthday. You know, of course, he came off the bench for us against Calgary and had a real nice impact in that first and the 1-0 loss. And, you know, he almost scored 2 goals himself in that match. And so we rewarded him with that one with the start in Hamilton. And then that one there, he strode a little tiny bit. And you know, that was just the realization. And maybe just that kind of reminder to myself that, you know, he's still a 17-year-old boy at the time, and we really need to manage him properly, and we have to keep him confident, keep him hungry, and get him at the right moments. And, you know, we've just thought through training, and we have, you know, of course, we had some injury issues with Sun going down, and that there is a chance this kid come into this game, play it, let him start at home in front of his friends and family, let that be a bit of a boost for him, and see how he does. And I was delighted with the performance. You know, of course, he scores the goal. You know, there's one that, you know, we had a chat at halftime when we walked off together that, you know, that one that he tried to score from a really poor angle should have been played in the Tomy, and that would have saw us up 2-0 at half. And these are the little learning moments for a young player, you know. But again, at the same time, I'm rewarding him for having the confidence to still go himself. But now he's got to find that balance.
Definitely. A lot of good young players in Edmonton, a lot of really good young talent. And I think this is kind of what you alluded to in preseason and in the start of the season was that there's a lot of hungry young talent in your team. I think the early part of your campaign, we saw a more defensive look as you guys sort of battled up against some of the contenders in the spring season. You guys are getting hot at just the right moment for the fall, though. Is this kind of a chance for you to show the real version of FC Edmonton?
You know, it's. I think it's a chance for us to show the new version of FC Edmonton. You know, I came in with an idea of how we were going to play football and, you know, the type of system I wanted to play. And I talked a lot about a 4-3-3 and whatnot. And we truly wanted to play that way, you know, coming out of the gate. And then there's a couple of reasons, which I don't want to get into publicly, certainly. But there's a few reasons why we're unable to play the way that I envisioned in particular in that system. So we've had a rethink, and I've had to have a rethink, and I've had to actually step back and, you know, certainly look within myself and you know, and do what's right for the team. And that's why we have kind of a new version of us now, you know, which plays a different formation. One that some would say is very defensive when you have two lines of four, but, you know, we see the two strikers as something that this team needs at the moment. It's definitely benefiting us. You know, it's causing some problems for teams because Tomei Amiobi is a massive handful. And although, you know, he's only scored the 1 goal this year, his work on and off the ball creates the opportunities that we get for Omar. So those two have formed that partnership. And, yeah, I'd like to think that our defending is better in this system as well. You know, even though we might have looked defensive early on, it wasn't meant to be. It was just that, you know, we weren't able to kind of find that offensive mark that I had hoped in a 4-3-3. So that was kind of a necessity. But, you know, I'm hoping that this version now is the version that we get, you know, for the rest of the season. The players have bought in, you know, the work rate's through the roof, you know, and this is it. They're playing as a team. In these games now, and this has been the big difference for us, is that the whole group is committed to, number one, keeping a clean sheet, and then having the belief that by doing that, we're going to get our chances and we take them when they come.
Jeff, I have to commend you for your honesty in admitting that you're changing up your tactics. I think it was Alex Ferguson who wrote in his book that a mark of a really, really astute manager is one who understands the reality that he faces and kind of adapts and changes. So we're seeing this new look, Edmonton. We wish you the best of luck in the fall, and thank you very, very much for joining us here on Center Circle Live.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. And keep up the great work.
So that was FC Edmonton head coach Jeff Paulus, who, Marty, I mean, he's got to be feeling good after three wins in a row. He said that he's, you know, commending his team for their performances. But when you go into the fall on the back of a three-game winning streak, I mean, you got to look at the rest of your fixtures in July and just go, we got an opportunity here, right?
Yeah, especially when, as he mentioned, and good for Jeff for this, is, you know, really outlining the changes that he made. And why wouldn't you be confident if you make a slight adjustment and all of a sudden things start working?
Totally.
You realize it's not you, it was the system, right?
Yeah, and I mean, it's something that managers don't often really admit to either. I mean, that's why I tried to commend him for the honesty of it, because, like, genuinely, that was a huge turning point for this team. And I think they can look at the month of July. They've got a three-game homestand to end off the month. And that's a huge opportunity to not only just gain points, but add a bit of a gap, because, you know, injuries and other issues will come up during this 18 games, like, fall portion. So, you know, go into this opening hot and see what you can take out of it. That's my mythos here.
We should quickly touch on the Canadian men's national team and the 2019 Gold Cup quarterfinal. It seems like it was ages ago, but it was just on Friday at the start of the long weekend, losing 3-2 to Haiti. To drop out of the quarterfinal there.
Not ideal.
Yeah, not ideal is correct. It was obviously a come from behind win for Haiti, but I mean, what are some of the positives we can take from this? Obviously, the negatives have written themselves and have been
they, though?
Repeated.
That's the thing. I feel like they haven't. I feel like we haven't really taken some time yet, and it's fair. It's still pretty early, but there should be some talk about what could be better here.
Okay, so the fullbacks.
Yeah, so fullbacks, I think Godinho didn't have a great game. I don't think Godinho's a bad player. I think he's one for the future, but yeah, that was definitely an issue, and I don't like Davies at left back. I said it for a while. I think Davies' best position is right wing.
It's tough because at parts of that game, you could see why Herdman would believe in him at left back,
totally.
Especially the way that he's able to retain possession, and if they're going to want to play it out of the back, how well he can keep the ball and get away from a press. You're going to watching it being like, oh, this makes sense, but obviously that one defensive error on that third goal.
Yeah, it's just, it's super unfortunate because I also don't think Canada played so poorly that they deserve to lose that game, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, like, the circumstances that you were presented with, you know, that's football sometimes. And I don't know if it's John Herdman getting his tactics wrong. I don't think so. I think we haven't seen enough of this Canada team really to make those kinds of judgments. And we always knew that Canada would be tested at this stage more than they were in their Nations League qualifying, because that really was just games that they should have won that they won. So now he's got a Mexico game under his belt where I think we learned a little bit about the resilience of this team, and also a loss to Haiti that we can look at and go, like, well, we're not quite at the point of being invincible either. So I think the next round, the Nations League stuff, that'll be a real good indication of where we stand heading into what is going to be a crucial World Cup qualifying cycle.
Yeah, so Canada taking on Cuba and the U.S. in the Nations League. Had a good result against Cuba in the Gold Cup, I might add.
Yeah, but that was, you know, I think to be expected. We always knew Nations League would come down to that Canada-U.S. game anyways. And I think last time we talked about this, I said that it should be in only one venue, and that's exactly the venue they've chosen. It's at BMO Field, Jonathan Osorio versus maybe Michael Bradley. I don't know. He hasn't been called up in a while, but
yeah, everyone just staying at home in Toronto. Okay, so looking ahead to the CPL fall season, which starts on Saturday with three games, I've got three questions for you guys, but it's not trivia.
Aww.
Yeah, we've all heard the trivia. You know, Armin had a rough go of it last time, so we maybe stopped doing it. But
we don't have to not do them. Just I have to study better.
The questions are very difficult, to be fair, or were very difficult.
Yeah, that's you, Marty. That's not me.
Okay, question number one.
Oh, no.
Which non-Forge team do we think has the best chance of winning the fall season?
Oh, these aren't trivia at all.
Yeah,
oh,
these are more like conversation. Oh, they're conversation pieces, aren't they? We're having a conversation.
Holly, I'll let you go first. Who do you think?
Okay. I would have to go with York 9.
Ooh.
Just because, as Armin alluded to in his breakdown of this past week, or Canada, should I say, they have the chemistry. They're finally starting. All they needed was time, basically,
mm-hmm.
was what, you know, Armin said, and what I agree with. And we're finally starting to see, I think, what they're capable of. I know that they have a great build-up. They're really fun to watch. And it's just about finishing and putting the balls in the back of the net. And, you know, Brennan says himself, like, that's what it's obviously about, is the finishing. Everything else was there. It was just the finishing. And like we already said, three great goals on Canada Day. I think we'll see plenty more of that in the fall, and I think they'll be climbing the table in no time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and their defense was quite good for probably the latter half of the spring, where they went three games with three clean sheets. Like they were looking quite tight. Okay, Armin.
Process of elimination. I think Valor is going to take some time to kind of figure out what their systemic problems are. Clearly something's not working because they've just lost six in a row. But I don't think that they're a bad team, but I think they need time, and they probably don't have the luxury of it in the fall. Then you can look at HFX and you look at Pacific and you go, if they are healthy, they are contenders, but they're battling injuries and it's not getting it any easier over this fall spring kind of dynamic anyways. So maybe those two will take a little bit of time to get healthy. So really what you're left with is, like, as Holly said, York 9, who I think is definitely a contender, but also like Edmonton, like they are starting to come into their own. The things that were missing with Edmonton are things that they're now showing, which is some defensive resoluteness, some attacking teeth and bite, and a pretty solid midfield that's capable of distributing the ball around. Ramon Soria is as good as any of them, really.
Yes.
So a young team, presumably a young team, can stay healthy as well. And what you've really got is, I think, the potential for an El Clasico finale. I think that, if Edmonton... The other thing is, Paulus didn't really talk about it, but it's worth mentioning, is this club as an organization has gone through these trials in the NASL, so they know how to manage the course of an entire season. So there is an element of the marathon versus the sprint, and I think Edmonton is probably best suited for that. So my answer to this is going to be Edmonton for the fall.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Edmonton too. I see them the same way that you see York 9, Holly, as being very defensively stout. But then they have those attacking talents like Tomi Abiobi. I don't need to repeat what Jeff Ballas has already said on the podcast, but yeah, I think they have the pieces. Okay, question number two. This one's a lot shorter. How many losses will Cavs have in the fall season? Will the Cavs have, I should say?
Out of 18? Let's say...
I'll go first.
You go first.
I'm going to say five. I'm going to say they're going to lose...
thinking five.
They're going to lose twice to Forge, then they're going to lose twice at home against Edmonton, away to Edmonton, I should say. And then one other time, I don't know, pick a team. Valor, I don't know.
I think five is... that was kind of where I was headed, but then the more I think about it, let's say eight. I'll say 8 out of 10.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Eight losses?
But I think Tommy has the luxury of the berth already wrapped up. So he'll give some more time to players who don't necessarily get too much time. And, it's a tough one because you know they really want that fall crown as well. But that being said, like, there's so many players on that team who deserve a look as well. So I think, yeah, 8 is probably a little on the higher end. So maybe somewhere in the middle of that. But I think 5 is a little low as well.
Okay. Holly?
Yeah, I'm going to go right in between both of you because, yeah, I don't think less than five doesn't seem likely to me.
Yeah.
And then, more than eight or anything like that would be, I don't think that would happen either. So I'm going to go with 6.
Okay.
And yeah, just because I think both of you made good points, but I also think, other teams will catch up, like the ones we've already mentioned. So I think, I'm going to go with 6.
Yeah, I think I don't think we're going to see geez, it's going to be fun looking back at this podcast, but I don't think we're going to see Calgary lose like 10 matches.
Yeah, I'm going to be bookmarking this for sure. Okay, third and final question. Who wins the Golden Boot? For me, I think it's going to be Borges.
Tristan Borges. Yeah, that's a good shout.
I don't know. Dominique Malanga, Tristan Borges, Omar Diouk tied 4 goals apiece here heading into the fall.
I out of those three, I would say that probably Omar Diouk has the best chance. Tristan Borges is still not an out-and-out striker, so his looks at goal are going to be a little tougher. That's really my hesitation, is a winger doesn't necessarily win this unless his name is Cristiano Ronaldo.
But Diouk really impresses me because even you see in that second goal how he's able to win the ball so high up the pitch, and he does it all the time. You watch him, like he'll do that like 3 or 4 times in a game. It just gives him those opportunities that weren't normally there for him.
I think Malanga is also a really good shout, but I think that Malanga and Jordan Brown share that position too much, and so the goals will be spread out a little bit more between them. Anytime you have two kind of main strikers, you don't really see one of them golden boot chase. It ends up being more if you're like playing with a single solitary forward. So my prediction is going to be Rodrigo Gatas of York 9 FC.
Wow.
I think he shoots more than a lot of other players.
Actually, he has the most shots on net in the entire CPL.
And I think the only thing that was missing was putting him in positions based on the connectivity of his teammates where those shots can be translated into goals better. I'm not even going to try to go into expected goals because that's a whole other person's domain. We'll have somebody on who can talk about that at some point. But I think Gatas is getting into the kind of groove where he can start potting them in multiple times in a game. And those are the kind of things that really add up.
I am going to go with Malanga just because I think he can find the net in various situations. He's strong on the ball.
He is tall. He has a couple headed goals already.
Yeah, he's versatile, right?
Yeah. And just like alluding to the York game again last week, his goal, he was kind of being like brought down and on the turn. Like he was able to find the back of the net and like probably a chance that not a lot of people could find the net. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. He's definitely got that kind of wily, like that trick footed sort of, but he's a big striker. So it's like he's got a lot of interesting weapons at his disposal. I think he's definitely a player to watch. And if it does come down to between him and Jordan Brown up top, you have to kind of give the edge to Malanga right now. I think that's the thing, though, about Cavalry is there's going to be rotation. So I just don't see him playing enough games where he can really rack up those numbers. So, well, I guess all we can do is see, right?
Well, Borges, Gatas, and Malanga will be in action on Saturday when the fall season kicks off. Forge hosting FC Edmonton, HFX taking on York 9, and Pacific welcoming Cavalry to West Hills once again. See, I said Cavalry correct that time also.
Cavalry.
Okay, see you guys next week.